we don't live in the moment anymore. You see it at events. I'm a music fan. I go to festivals and concerts. I'm a sports fan. I go to games, sports games, etc. When you see that people in these great moments, yeah, they all want to take pictures or videos of what's happening. But then I think, yeah, the moment is past.
Stay connected to gratitude. Hit the follow button right now and join thousands of listeners tuning in each week. We're the Gratitude Seekers. Come join us. Hi, Gratitude Seeker. Welcome to a new episode of the Gratitude Podcast. Our guest today is the National Director at the Special Olympics Belgium. His journey is nothing short of remarkable. He is at the forefront of empowering individuals with intellectual disabilities through sports, fostering inclusivity, and cultivating gratitude at the core of his mission. His work has positively impacted countless lives, and he has a very personal story to tell in which gratitude plays an important part. Dominique Dehaene, welcome to the Gratitude Podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I really hope that I got the pronunciation right, because...
Yes, very correct. Very correct. Thank you for that.
Thank you. I love languages, and I love learning words in different languages and experimenting. So I know also that for each of us, our name is important, and the way that people pronounce it or mispronounce it gets us to feel in a certain way.
Correct. Yeah, it's part of our identity. So let's try to pronounce each other's names correctly, and that's a first form of respect towards one another.
Exactly. Definitely agree with that. So let us know a little bit more about you.
So I'm a 48-year-old guy from Belgium. I live in a small town. I'm married. I have three children. I mentioned that first because I think it's the core of my life and my happiness. I've been in politics, in Belgian politics, for a long time, locally and on a national level. Just before I became national director for Special Olympics Belgium, I was in aviation, air traffic control. I was chief of staff at the National Air Traffic Control in Belgium. But I always wanted to make a career switch during my career to something that was really valuable on a social level. And I'm also a sports fan. I run a lot, not very good or fast, but I like it. and I like sports. So yeah, when this opportunity came along my path, I just knew I had to take it. And since October 2023, I've been at the head of this beautiful organization.
That's amazing. I love the fact that you knew you wanted to make a difference in a certain way, and you, even though I'm sure it wasn't easy, you had the courage to make the switch and to get involved in something that you really love. And I love that. So how did this came about? Like what was the process, and what motivated you to do this, aside from the fact that you love sports and you wanted to make a difference?
Well, there's something else that is very, very important. It didn't actually play a role when I applied for this job, but it Yeah, indirectly it did. We have our oldest son is autistic himself, so we know the obstacles that brings in life, but also the joys. Let's surely talk about that as well. And so, yeah, my wife had already worked for a long time for a Flemish organization which looks after people with autism on a social and political level. So that was also a trigger to get even more involved. Although my son himself cannot participate in the activities of Special Olympics, we've always been very open about our son's disability. And so, yeah, this was also an opportunity to do something for a lot more people than just my son, but also for many other people with intellectual disability. And so all the pieces of the puzzle came together. And as I said, I grabbed the opportunity with both hands and haven't regretted so far. So here I am.
Wow, that's so generous and so thoughtful, and I think it's interesting how these things tend to happen in our lives that lead us in certain directions, and it's wonderful that given the choice you chose to be generous and to create something beautiful for many people, but right. Getting back to our conversation on gratitude, I'm really curious what gratitude means for you personally.
I think gratitude is a way of life. And I think I'm afraid, and I'm talking about Belgium, but maybe even a bit broader in the Western world, it's becoming less important. It's becoming a little forgotten. You know, when I was a child, my parents taught me to always say thank you, just even for some very small things. And I passed that on to my children, to our children, of course. And that's one of the things that makes me most proud, is that they also embrace that way of life of being grateful and just saying thank you. I say thank you, I think 1,000 times a day, but I always mean it as well. So I think it starts by doing that, but you know, just those two words mean that you're open for gratitude and you really embrace it. So it starts with that, but it grows much bigger during your life. And although that's not the purpose of it, you get things back. And not, I mean, of course, I don't mean material things, but you know, people appreciate, in the long run, people appreciate your gratitude and one way or another pay it back to you or give it back to you. So to put it like that, but in a more, let's say, spiritual way, it's rewarding to be grateful.
Definitely. And from the other perspective, I think we all crave appreciation. We all want to feel appreciated. We all want to feel recognized, feel that what we do has value for other people. And when we hear thank you and we feel that the other person means it, of course it creates a bond. It creates something beautiful with the other person, because we feel seen, we feel that what we do, what we did at that point in that situation mattered, and it just fuels us. So thank you for doing that.
No, it's I fully agree. So and I think we somehow lost a little bit as a society, where we lost that aspect of it, or it's becoming less important. And I think, you know, in the long run, when people start or see people doing it again, or being grateful to one another, it relaunches that attitude. I think we've seen it during COVID, where people appreciated very much the small things in life, and they created a bond with people they might not have known before. But here we are 5 years later, and of course I'm not saying we need another crisis like that, but you see that there's becoming a bit of pressure again on that attitude and that gratitude. So my idea is to promote gratitude as much as we can, just by thanking, sincerely thanking people for the small things in life.
Yeah, I totally agree. But I wanted to get to something that you said that I think it's very interesting. You mentioned the fact that unfortunately gratitude is, at least in the Western world, less used, or less I don't know, the importance of gratitude tends to be lessened, and I'm wondering if you have an idea on why this is happening.
I think there's a lot of theories going on about that, and possible theories and plausible. I think social media doesn't help. We tend to stay at home, or even if we go out, not talk to each other, but just look on our smartphones, or even communicate to our smartphones, or laptops or PC. And that, it drives people a bit apart. Even when in social company, we still have that tendency to be addicted to our smartphones and social media. And you see it in and I'm not, just to be very open about it, I'm not judging anyone, because we're all in the same boat, I would say.
Yeah.
But you see it at work as well. You see that the younger generations, I see it with my kids as well, they don't like picking up the phone to talk to someone. You know, they will always text. But if you ask them to pick up a phone and to have a conversation on the phone with someone, they're very reluctant to do it. And I think that aspect of personal contact, might be one of the reasons why it is more difficult to communicate with one another. I also think we don't live in the moment anymore. You see it at events. I'm a music fan. I go to festivals and concerts. I'm a sports fan. I go to games, sports games, etc. And you see that people in these great moments, they all want to take pictures or videos of what's happening. But then I think, the moment is past. You know, a few years ago, I was at the biggest festival in Belgium, and one of the youngsters was asked upon the podium, so in front of tens of thousands of people. And I understand, he took his phone and started filming from the stage. But I think, you're on the stage now. Don't film it. Just you are there. So enjoy the moment instead of letting it pass by looking at your screen. So without saying that is the only cause, there's probably many other causes. But I think social media plays a very big role in our social interaction and maybe a bit putting pressure on gratitude as well.
Definitely. And when we tend to share only the highlights on social media, and we always see the highlights of other people, and we automatically compare those highlights with the day-to-day of our life. That's really hard to process in our brains, in our emotions, because when we see, for instance, in I don't know, in a week, some people that are close to us one way or another, or we just follow on Instagram or on Facebook, we see them, I don't know, going on vacation and we need to go to work or things of this nature. That's really hard to process, because we, especially if we tend to see quite a few, we have we remain with this idea that okay, they have it easy and we have it hard, and we have to deal with the day to day and how amazing it is their life. And yeah, it's not that it's not like that for them, but in many cases it's just the highlights. We don't know the whole story, unfortunately, and we create an image that's ideal, and we tend to suffer, unfortunately, from that point of view. But I also wanted to get to something that you mentioned here, and I think it's really interesting. People nowadays, as you mentioned, in sports events or in when they're going to music events, the funny thing is that, at least in some cases, I believe, people want to take pictures or videos because they feel that that is a special moment. And unfortunately, we tend to do, because I tend to do this sometimes as well. It's like, this is so special, I have to take it with me somehow, and I have to have it for the future as well. And the funny thing from this point of view is that we know that it's a beautiful moment, we do appreciate it, but we tend to focus more on capturing it instead of living it.
Correct. And you know, there's another aspect in that, is that, you know, before, when we had to take real cameras to take pictures, you know, afterwards we had to make these pictures, have them developed, or maybe on you know, to be able to show them on a screen. So there was you know, there was a bit of delay on using these pictures and showing them to others. You know, when I was a kid, we used to go on holidays, and my dad would take pictures, and then afterwards we would gather the family around and show these pictures and relive the moment and explain what happened, and, you know, get the funny anecdotes about it, you know. And now I think, like everyone, I have thousands of pictures in my phone. But once the moment is passed, you rarely look at them, leave alone show them to others. You know, the moment is passed, you have the pictures, and they're great moments and they're great memories, but we don't cherish our memories anymore like we used to. So I think that's on the other hand, I have to say, I want to look at the positive side as well, because, as you mentioned, by people showing the highlights in their life on social media. On the one hand, I agree. On the other hand, I think it's also perception of the people watching these stories and images. You know, we could also be happy for the ones sharing these moments and saying, oh, good for you, you went on a holiday, or good for you, you met some famous person or something like that, and not thinking, you're just doing this to make us jealous or to show how good everything is going in your life. Like, for instance, as I said in the beginning, my wife and I have always been open about our son being autistic. We shared the funny moments in his life, in our lives. You know, the things that went well when he made progress in something, we shared them because we were proud. but we also share the difficult moments, and there are difficult moments. There are crises when you raise a son with autism and two other children without autism. So it's not always easy or happy life. And so we show these moments as well, just to let people know, these things happen as well. And okay, they are a challenge, but we try to find a way to overcome them. And we hope that inspires other people to say, okay, so we're not alone in this. You have the same problems, or how do you deal with it? So yeah, we always try to use social media as a connection in, let's say, both ways, be it positive or negative is not the correct word, but showing the difficult moments as well.
I love this. And yeah, you have a great point, because indeed, this is how a connection is made, a real social connection. When we meet our friends, of course, we talk about the highlights, the good things in our life, and we're happy for each other, but we also talk about the challenges. We talk about the things that might annoy us or might make it hard for us in certain parts of our life. And that's the natural way. And I love the fact that you are doing this and that you are showing a great way of social interaction on social media, because in this way we can really see the whole picture and appreciate the fact that we as you are human, and we have the highlights, but we have the highs, we have the lows, and it's normal for that. And I also love the other idea that you share, that we can be and we could be happy for the other people. I was just referring to the moments when we are at the lowest and it's harder for us to feel the happiness for other people, even though, yeah, definitely I resonate a lot with this idea that when we see the highlights of other people, that we feel happy for them, and in that way we are open to those kinds of experiences as well. And I think these are the ideas are very important. But I also wanted to get to something that you said before. I love taking pictures in moments, even though I won't be focusing much on the picture itself or the process itself of taking a picture or a video. But here on the Gratitude Podcast, that at the end of the year, we do look at those pictures so that we can write at least three things that we are grateful for in each month of the year. So I invite people to do this with me. I do this every year, and I invite the gratitude seekers to do this as well. Because when you have a lot of things going on, even though you have great things happening, they might pass really fast, and you don't realize actually how many beautiful things you have experienced in the passing year. So it's a good thing as well to take these pictures.
Yeah, I think that's a very good idea. I think I'll try to remember it and do the same at the end of the year. You know, I try to read a book every month, and one extra book during the holidays. That's a goal I set for myself. And at the end of the year, yeah, I make a little post on saying, yeah, these are the books I read this year. But doing this with one picture a month and being grateful for these moments that occurred in the last year, or be it, yeah, maybe some less pleasant things, just remembering them at the end of the year, I think that's a very good idea. So I'll try to pick it up at the end of the year as well. Thank you for the idea.
Yeah, definitely. It's really powerful because, pictures elicit emotions, and we get to connect with those emotions from those moments. And we, when we put them all together, like every month, it's like 36 reasons to feel grateful for the year that has passed. And when you're stacking up the beautiful things, it really gives you a different kind of energy for the new year. So I also wanted to ask you if you have a favorite quote on gratitude.
Well, it's not actually about gratitude, but it's about mm-hmm. the way of life. I explained it at the beginning. And it is linked, of course, to my personal and professional life, linking to disability. So my favorite quote would be, the only disability is bad attitude. So if you have bad attitude, you know, you cannot be grateful. You cannot be grateful for anything. And I think you cannot be happy either. And although I know things can happen in your life which put you, to put you under pressure or make you feel unhappy. But I think, we should always try to see the positive things. And if your attitude is not open to positive things, or then I would say that is indeed a disability and a lack of willingness to be positive or see positive things in life. So it's in a certain way, in a certain amount, it's a choice to have that attitude. So that was a quote I like to remind sometimes to people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really powerful. It's really powerful because we tend to forget that we have a choice, and we tend to get stuck in some mental habits that aren't doing us much good, unfortunately. But I'm really curious on your take on what we could do in such situations, like when it's hard to feel grateful. What do you do, or what do you recommend people to do?
Well, one trick, and it's very well known, of course, so it's not very it's not very new, so to say, is you know, when you have had a bad day, just before falling asleep, just picture or think about two or three things that happened during the day which you should be grateful for. And they can be very small things, and they will probably not have more impact than the bad things that might have happened that day. But they help you to see things in perspective. So it's a bit like the pictures at the end of the year. So just small things that happen during the day and help you. Even if it's just a small glimpse of something positive, that may help to get another perspective on things. So that's something I try to do when you have had a bad day.
Mm. Can you take us through this exercise? Like, for instance, if you could mention a few things from the day or from yesterday that you would mention.
They can be. I have to admit, it's mostly when you have had a bad day at work, because we spend a lot mm-hmm. of time at work, of course. And then you reflect and you come home and something small, just a 2-minute conversation with my wife or one of the kids, that can help. Just a smile or something funny that happened to someone else, just yeah, really go looking for the positive things, you know, or I go running a lot. If you you saw something on your way to when you went running, or you had a good training, etc. Just really focus on the small things, because they're always there and they can help you put things in perspective. So yeah, sometimes I must admit, sometimes it takes a few seconds or a bit longer to think of something, but you always find a little thing that could make your day and make you fall asleep with the mind at ease. So that helps.
Yeah, that definitely makes a difference. And there have been many studies that have confirmed the fact that practicing gratitude actually helps with sleep, since you mentioned this. So I think it's a really good idea. And like you mentioned, we can always find, if we look for it, we can always find something to be grateful for, even if it's something really small. But yeah, it can build up from the small things, as it works in the other direction, because when there are lots of small things that annoy us, at the end of the day, we might feel annoyed. So we can do the reverse with gratitude. So have you always been a grateful person, or was it something that helped you become a more grateful person?
No, I think I can say I've always been a grateful person. You know, as I said, yeah, my parents taught me to be grateful, to say thank you for all the small things. And so it's a way of life that you embrace from the very young childhood, and it's a choice to continue to be like that. And it's something that also shows in the choices you make. You know, I've always been engaged in any social movement. Was it scouting, or just things that associations, be it sports or cultural, or just bringing people together. And in a way, I think politics is also an engagement, and you engage in something that's important for more than just yourself. It's something you do for a community or society as a whole. So I think in that aspect, politics is also an important choice, and not always easy, but we should respect the people who sincerely make that choice to engage in politics and to invest in it. And for me, as I said, all the pieces of the puzzle came together in what I'm doing now. So it's also my way of giving something back to society, because it's, we have our sporting activities that we organize for people with intellectual disability, but it's so much more than that. We try to convince people that they should use these talents as well, and give these people opportunities that they were not given for so many years. So if I can contribute just a little bit to that, that's my mission in this with this organization. And I can say if I know it's a cliche, but it is so true, that people with mental disability, intellectual disability, are very grateful, and they are not afraid to show that gratitude. I think that's they set an example for many of us. If we have any activity with people with intellectual disability, the hugs you get are from every I would say almost every second of the day. It's so heartwarming and so sincere. And anyone who joins us at one of our activities is impressed and moved by the feeling of community that that inspires this whole movement, this worldwide movement, moreover. So, I think gratitude is a big part of the job I'm doing now.
Beautiful. Actually, you've anticipated one of my questions, and it's related to this, to how you're experiencing gratitude in your work today. And on this note, maybe you want to share a specific story or example that you've experienced, in which you've experienced gratitude working as a national director at the Special Olympics. So is there a story that comes to mind, something that really moved you that you would like to share?
Yeah, there's one athlete, and actually it's a bit maybe atypical or turning things around. When I applied for this job, there was, and as it should be, there were also two athletes involved in the selection of the new national director. And luckily they chose for me as well. But one of these athletes is a young woman. And every time we meet, she always says, "Yeah, you're the new director. Thanks to me, I made you the new director." So it's a running gag between the both of us. But it's actually me who should be grateful to her for giving me this job. But yeah, she turns it around, and she's very proud that she chose me. And what I would say comforts me the most is that she's still convinced of her choice. So that's really fulfilling for me to see that. She and many others still stand behind their choice, and that's very fulfilling for me, and keeps me going on the job, where there are some downsides or difficult days as well sometimes. But then just meeting some of our athletes is as we say in my dialect, it gives you a pint of fresh blood to keep up the good work.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's really beautiful that you mentioned this, because indeed we need these kinds of moments, these kinds of words of appreciation, because life in general, or work in this case, can be difficult at times. And knowing that we have the appreciation of the people around us, and hearing that, makes it so much better and so much easier. And it gives us the fuel that we need to continue to do the best work that we're capable of. So, I think this is really beautiful.
Correct. And knowing our athletes, it's always very authentic. With some other people, you might sometimes get the feeling that, are you sincere when you say this, or is it just, are you just saying it because? But with our athletes, you always know they're sincere, in the other way as well, by the way. So if they don't like you, or if you've done something that they don't like, they will also tell you, which is good as well. If it's done in a correct way, then you can take it into consideration. While with people without intellectual disability, they would, some of them would tend to go behind the back, or this is something with people with intellectual disabilities is, let's say, very rare. They're always very authentic and very open, which is a very positive characteristic. So I like that about them.
Yeah, definitely. And it's not easy at times, I can imagine, but it's also very beautiful knowing that it's something that comes from the heart, especially when they feel the appreciation, and that it's not something that you need to check if it's actually that way or not. So that's a really beautiful feeling. So we are nearing the end of our time together, and I wanted to ask you Who are some people in your life that you're grateful for that you like to mention?
I think I would say the obvious ones, family, you know, parents, my two brothers, but also my own family, of course, my wife, my three kids, and family in law. So the people closest to you. And then, like everyone, the closest friends, you know, the ones you can call, and they're very rare, and that's normal. But the ones you can call when, you know, you're having trouble with something, the ones you can always rely on. So I'd be very grateful to them. And then, yeah, in a professional way, I think I could mention a lot of people who I'm grateful for. It's just, as I said, you have to see opportunities and you know, work together with the people that there's a click with these people. So when you have a connection with them, work on that connection and you know, try to get the best of both or more of yourselves and yeah, to reach the goals you want to reach or you have to reach. And so look for the opportunities and grab them when they pass your way.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for your time, for being here with us, for sharing your gratitude and your perspective on gratitude. Thank you for the work that you're doing and for the inspiration that that you have given us.
No, thank you for the opportunity and look forward to hearing more from the podcast. Thank you very much.
Gratitude Seeker, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this interview. I really appreciate it. And if you could think of one person that would also benefit from it, share it with them. It might actually be the inspiration that they need to make their day or maybe even their life much better. Thank you so much once again. This has been Georgian Benta. Don't forget to keep seeking and spreading gratitude.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.